All right, if you would, find a sermon outline in your bulletin and really encourage you to have one of those. Again, almost everything that I do, if you don't have one of those, it's just the Bible, but it's really helpful if you got an outline. So if you would, find one of those. If you don't have one, actually, I'm going to put you on the spot. Have you raise your hand and one of our ushers will get you one. Anybody not have one? Right back here, we need a bulletin. Right over here, we need a bulletin. So, ushers, thank you. Thank you. Right back here. Anybody else? Really helpful. Have a bulletin, have a crayon or a pen or something like that, and expect God to speak to your heart. Again, my goal is to just in every way bring light to the Word of God. I just, you know, if you're saying I'm being political today, look, when... whatever's going on in nature, whatever, if there's a rattlesnake in the house, you got to take care of it. Now, in this house is good. But in our house in America, there's just certain things. When the church doesn't speak out, it's just not good for society. It's just not good. And we've had all kinds of atrocity in past years, past generations in America, because the church wimped out. Just going to say it. Okay? It's not acceptable. It's not okay. We don't promote republicanism or democratism or independentism, or that's not where we promote the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God judges every institution and every belief and every organization. And we call it like it is. And most of the things, we'll let it go because we're focused on exalting Christ and bringing Christ to people. But there are a few things that happen in our nation that we need to speak to and that the Word of God speaks to that are that deadly, that evil. So there will be, if I was in a normal job, I will say a number of things today that would get me fired from a normal job. I get it. Still, feel free to email me. Feel free to call me. Numbers are everywhere. So love to hear from you. Words of insight and balance. I'm back a little bit further, back as far as I can get, because I really, especially from folks wearing a mask, because I really, really don't want to, infect anybody. Hopefully I'm not infected. I feel great, but I don't know. By the way, the offering buckets are by all of the doors, and so, feel free to give your offering on the way out the door. All right, let's go ahead and dig in. Happy Father's Day. Yeah, happy Father's Day. Everybody good? It's a reminder. You still got some time today. Go out and buy the big gifts today. You know, shopping on Sunday, we don't really promote that. But I'm just saying, for Father's Day, So, gentlemen, happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day. Happy Papa's Day. Happy Great Papa's Day. All right? We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 and 13. You can open up there. That's also in your sermon guide. And when it comes to raising children today, we want to raise children of honor. Dads, right? Okay? As you look at all, what's the number one virtue we want to focus on in our young men? What's the number one quality? Well, if we go by the Ten Commandments, obviously love for God, but really, what is the commandment to children? Whatever the commandment to children is in the Ten Commandments, I mean, yes, all of them apply to them, but what specifically singles out children? Whatever that is, dads need to help their children with that, and it, of course, is the fifth, honor your father and your mother. Big word, honor. God's plan, plainly, if a child will honor his parents, and the man of the house needs to help the child to do that, especially to honor his mother, he will naturally extend that honor to other people, especially ladies, and he will extend that honor to authorities in society. Imagine if we went back to that, and he will extend that honor to the God of his dad, the one true God. I'm telling you, if you got to focus, granddads, dads, on one thing, It is raising a child of honor. And now we're tasked today with raising children of honor in a day of disrespect. Two of the topics we're going to deal with today just redundantly, over and over and over again. This is all about honoring God, by the way. This is not psychology. This is about honoring God. We honor God by honoring the image of God inside of every person. God is honored in that. We honor the image of God inside of every person of every color, period, end of story, no excuses. That's what we do. Any dishonor toward the image of God, toward another person of another color, is a horrible, horrible evil that the church has put up with long enough and promoted. It's done. We're done. That's a horrible evil. Now, again, if you're a guest here, I'm not really yelling at these. I'm kind of yelling at me. I'm hoping this will go out. This church is more, I don't sense any racism in this church, and I am thrilled to death, but we talked last week, we all got to deal with the pride and the ethnocentrism that will quickly rise up in our hearts, all right? We honor people of all races, and today, you're going to hear this over and over again, we honor people that are in authority, that includes the police. So over and over again, it's a horrible evil to have any racism and to behave and think and act in that way. It is a horrible evil to have any disrespect for the authorities of our country, including the police. Both are a horrible, heinous crime against God. Both dishonor God. And yes, it's going to be the redundancy today. We're talking about raising kids of honor, so we're using this guide today to go, son, let's sit down and talk. We're going to go through a guide, going to take it point by point, as many days and weeks as it takes, and we're going to work through this. Number one, this is by way of review, but this is focus on your kid now, your grandson. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, number one thing you got to do, son, you got to be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to spend time in the Word of God, because society, all of it will mislead you. Your time, social networking, you've got to spend more time in the Word of God than any other influence in your life. Son, everybody good with that? And we do too, all right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are citizens of heaven. We see everything through heaven's eyes, and we judge it through heaven's eyes. That means in regard to other people, the police and other racial groups equally. Each one of them is created by God. Each person is created in the image of God. Therefore, blacks are to be honored. The police are to be honored. The blue people, the green people, the red people, I don't care who. Everybody is to be honored. Period. End of story. They all bear the image of God. C, everybody comes from Adam. We have the same grandfather. D, every person is loved by God, need to be reached with the gospel. We've got to judge everything we say and do with how is this helping us reach this person with the gospel. E, believers will be of all colors in heaven, and we will celebrate that. Believers of all colors are one when they trust Christ. Believers are one in Christ. We are one. That's our great identity. G, son, every person, period, whether a believer or not, is to be honored. And H, every person and culture has enough sin of its own. And we never get in the game of going, well, my culture's a little bit better than that culture. And I'm just saying, white people throw bricks also. White people light stuff on fire also. There's enough sin in every group to go around. And if you're black and you're listening to this, I'm going to shoot frankly with you. There was a lot of slavery in Africa. Where do you think we got most of our slaves? They were sold to us by people in Africa that they captured during wartime. Research it. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know if any historian disagrees with that. Slavery was rampant in most cultures in the world, maybe all of them, but most cultures, okay? So just to go, white people and capitalism invented that, that's nonsense. It doesn't alleviate what we did, not one iota. But if you're black and you're pointing finger to the horrible, capitalism and white culture, go back and look at the roots, and there's horrible, heinous stuff committed in regarding slavery in Africa. Look it up. Human sacrifices and the rest of slaves, okay? Horrible stuff. Now, that's not, again, my point is not to go, they're worse than we, or we're worse, we white people are worse than them. The point is there's so much sin to go around in our ancestry and in our own hearts. All of us wrestle with racism because we wrestle with pride and ethnocentrism to one degree or another. That's all of us. And in the police, they're sinful too. And in among pastors, Bible-believing pastors, we're sinful too. There's sin everywhere. So when you condemn another person, you're condemning yourself. When you condemn another race, you're condemning your own race. It's just so much sin to go around. Everybody good with that? All right, that's the point of H. Number two, son, love without hypocrisy. You need to love black people and people of every color. That means you value them. And you need to love the police because they're also loved by God equally. And so we want to as well. Number three, we abhor evil. We cling to what is good. We abhor racism and we hate disrespect to the police, both equally. And we cling to what is good, what will help both groups and everybody else. Number four, we're devoted to one another in the church. That means we spend time together, we build affectionate relationships of other races, and to sit down with the police. Do you have an affectionate relationship with any cop? Have you really listened to any cop on the planet? Spend time listening to groups of other color, people of other color, one-on-one. Spend time listening to a cop. I can tell you right out here, I walk up to every cop there is to thank them and ask them how they're doing, and they'll talk to you. And a lot of them have worked 14th Street and whatever downtown. Listen to them. Black cops and white cops are out here. And I got my grandchildren and my children to talk to them. And they'll listen. So what happens? You start to grow an affection. That's a beautiful thing. And it takes place through taking the time to listen and ask. Number five, rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation. That means, well, I can't go through all these. We go through the sermon last week and the week before. All right, it's part three, last part. Be devoted to prayer, prayer regarding repentance, prayer regarding revival, prayer regarding Jesus' prayer, John 17, unity. We spend time together in hospitality, love strangers, number seven. Number eight, we bless those who persecute us. We bless and do not curse. That regards people of other races. That is regarding the police. What if we did that? Bless, that means speak what is good for the recipient. Another race or a cop. Number nine, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That takes time to develop the understanding so that we can cry with other races, so that we can, listen to me, so we can cry with the police. How many are quitting? The numbers are astounding, and it's hard to blame them. Number 10, we associate with the lowly, and that's typically people of other cultures, not always. We take time to listen and get to know them. Number 11, this is where we left off. Never, and that means never, pay back evil to evil to anyone. That means to a person of another race, and that means to a police officer if they're harming you in some way. You don't pay back evil ever at all. There's a legal system for that. We're going to get into that today. It's okay to be angry, son. It's okay to be livid. Son, you never, ever pay back evil for evil, ever, in any circumstance. We'll get to the police in a moment and their authority and how to change them. Number 12, respect what is right in the sight of all men. This is where we pick it up today. Fortunately, most people in America know racism is a horrible evil. And we're siding with that in a fight against it. And we know, most people, I hope, in America, know that disrespect toward authorities, including the police, is a horrible evil, a horrible blight. And we join most of America in that, I think. Number 13, so respect what is right in the sight of all men. In other words, all men bear the image of God. These things are so basic. We got to help each other to achieve them, to grow in them. Number 13, if possible, son, as far as it depends on you, son, be at peace with all men. That means with other races.
That means with the police. Do the best you can. Don't be antagonistic. You know, if somebody says to you, son, Black Lives Matter, don't be antagonistic and say all lives matter. You know what they're trying to say. It's like me saying, you know, the lives of unborn babies matter. I'm just targeting a group for you to think about it. Don't be antagonistic. Don't fight back. Just go. Try to be at peace. It's okay to dialogue. It's a good thing to dialogue. But try to bring peace without giving up the truth. You know what most, hopefully, most people are trying to say. If a cop pulls you over, be at peace. Do what promotes peace, son. And it'll probably go much better for you if you do that. Don't be antagonistic. By the way, that little phrase, if possible, verse 18, look at the life of Jesus. You know, police arrested him, went through, you know, trials, they beat him, and they hated him, and they put him on a cross. If possible, be at peace. Jesus spoke the truth. He never wimped out, but he loved those people that were persecuting him. Paul, following in his steps, you know, how many riots were caused as he went into a city to witness? We witness, people aren't going to like us for that. There's a tension that's there, but if possible, we're not antagonistic. Okay? We go with most things. We just go with it. Okay? Number 14, verse 9. Never take your own revenge. That's kind of like verse 17. Never pay back evil to evil for anyone. It's just always wrong. Verse 19, never, and remember, we're not talking about government right now and government officials. We are talking about interpersonal relationships. We'll get to the government and if you're a cop in a moment. Verse 19, number 14, never take your own revenge, loved ones. You're loved by God. Remember that. Never take your own revenge. That word never means never, ever. It's never right. Don't ever do it. In your home, in your society, in your church, anywhere. Never take your own revenge. Well, how are they going to ever pay? They're going to get away with it. Leave room for the wrath of God. We'll get into that phrase in chapter 13 in just a moment. And that's toward all races, and that's towards the police. It's always wrong to take revenge. It's always wrong. For it is written, and you can bank on this promise, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And he's going to do it through two means. One is, and actually more, he's going to do it divinely, but he's also going to do it through the authorities. We'll talk about that in a moment. Number 15, son, if your enemy is in need, if he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If he has any other kind of need, do something helpful for him. Don't take your revenge, but here's what you do to, you know, you got that thing going on the inside. You got to do something. Well, here's what you do with it. Here's where you put your energy. Figure out something good and helpful to do. That's toward other races. That's toward the police. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals of fire on his head. A lot of people debate, that's from Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22. A lot of people debate, you know, what was that culturally? Yeah, I don't know, but obviously in the flow of thought, you're going to smoke his mind. At least it means that you're going to have you do good to an enemy, you speak good to an enemy, it's going to have a huge impact on him. Back to what should be done about racism. There's the civil rights way, American civil rights, which I esteem, it wasn't perfect, but I esteem that group as one of the greatest groups and the leadership in that, and the one of the greatest things that ever happened to America, the American civil rights movement. Still esteem it, still going on. Love it. Other groups that are using evil in some way, antagonism in some way, not good, not cool, not according to the Word of God. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. At least it means you're going to impact him, like in a real big way. Verse 21, this is the big bottom line. Do not be conquered or overcome by evil. That's a warning. And that can happen to you, that can happen to me real quick. You know, start to get the anger up, start to assume the worst, start to fight. Really bad. You know, don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. How do you bring change? You bring it through good as defined by heaven and the principles of God. That's how change is made in anything and everything, in a person and in society. Don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. That's true for ourselves. If I give way to racism and hate and revenge, I am morally, as far as my character goes, I'm shooting myself down the tubes. I'm going down quick, morally. I'm destroying myself. Give way to it a little bit, I'm going to destroy myself. Don't be conquered by it. And in others, God wants to use me, you, us, to overcome evil in our society, be it disrespect to the police or be it racism or any other evil that there may be. We do it through the means of heaven, and we never break the guidelines of heaven. This is one of the guides. Going to get into chapter 13 now. Now, I want to just preface chapter 13. There's no break between verse 21 of chapter 12 and chapter 13, verse 1. Don't see a break there. Okay, these are meshed together, they go together, but before I get into verse 1, I want to read a short little couple of verses to you for the context of this. The guy writing this was a full-breed terrorist, was a person who knew a lot about injustice because he was leading a very unjust racial religious hatred movement. Okay, he knows about it, he was a leader of it. And then he became a Christian, and now that movement's attacking him. And this is what he faced through racial and religious injustice by the institutions, the government institutions that existed, the Jewish institution and its leaders, and then the one totally dominating the world at the time, the Roman institution and its leaders. Both at the time were very unjust. And so Paul says, you know, here's part of my resume. I've been in, this is 2 Corinthians 11, 23. I've been in imprisonments. I don't know how many imprisonments I've been in. Every one of them was unjust, by the way, carried out by the authorities. I've been beaten times without number. I used to put a little notch, but I don't know how many times I've been beaten by the authorities. And with both of those, often I was in danger of death. My life was in the balance a lot of time by the authorities and some of them gangs, you know, that would hate me. It was both. Verse 24, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. The Jewish authorities, five times I was beaten with whips that would lacerate my back. His back was a scar, the whole thing. Three times, and I was all unjust. Three times I was beaten with rods. That would be by the Roman authorities, stretching him out and just wailing on him with big rods. Unjust. By the Roman government. Once I was stoned. That's rocks thrown at you until they thought you were dead. By a gang that was supported by all the above. Do you understand? Okay, so the guy gets injustice by the authorities that he's going to talk about now. That's the point I wanted to make. He gets it, all right? So with that understanding, that was written before chapter 13, verse 1. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now remember, the previous verse is, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good, son. Never, always watch your heart. Never be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good 100% of the time interpersonally. Well, they're going to get away with it, Dad. Hang on to that thought. Next verse. Let every person, that means the lawmakers, the law enforcers, the judges, let every person, that's God's, God, you know, that's why we want to be a nation of laws where everybody equally comes under the law. Still pursuing that. I got it. But that's the goal, according to the word of God. Let the word every, by the way, real big word in Greek, it means every. Okay? Every person, categorically, if the government's right, needs to be in subjection to the governing authorities that need to be governed themselves by law. There is no authority except from God. And those which exist, now this doesn't say just the concept of government, but the governments which exist are established by God. That's a hard one for us. North Korea, some of our government leaders, many good ones and some that we kind of wish weren't there, maybe, from your own perspective. Syria, on and on. I mean, it's just, oh, man, that's tough. That's the word of God. There is no authority. Many of these authorities on the planet today are unjust and racist. There is no authority except from God. Those which exist are established by God. Here's the point. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. If I get pulled over by the police and I'm resistant, I'm opposing God. That's hard. Son, when you get pulled over by the police, you're being pulled over by the authority of God, no matter how unjust it may be. Racial profiling or, you know, you know, whatever. You weren't really speeding in your own opinion. Whatever. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation on themselves. I think that's a dual thing. Number one, from God. But number two, probably from the authority. Four, verse three, son, you got to understand this. Rulers are not, this is proverbially so. And remember what Paul went through. He's been abused by authorities unjustly. Rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. That's proverbially, that typically that's the case. Not always, but usually that's the case. Do you want it, son? Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do you want to be driving your car and not looking in the mirror all the time? Remember those days? Want to have no fear of authority? Do what's good, and you'll have praise. Generally, you'll have praise from the same. Why? Verse 4, that is the government, that's the police, the lawmakers, the judges. Government is a minister of God to you for good. That's a redundancy in this passage. Government's established by God. Verse 4, it's a minister of God. Verse 4 again, it is a minister of God twice in verse 4. And it's the servant of God, verse 6. All right? So that's God's perspective on government. And that needs to be your perspective, son, and my perspective. Even if they're evil, they're not as evil as they were when Paul wrote this in the Roman society. If you do what is evil, fear. It doesn't bear the sword for nothing. They carry guns. There's a reason they carry guns. Sometimes they're having bad days. Sometimes their judgment's off. You don't want to get shot? Yes, sir, and no, sir. Son, everybody good? Yes, sir, no, sir. You know, get his bad number. If he's treating you bad, take care of it later. In front of him, be respectful. Everybody good? Grandfathers, raise your kids that way, okay? If your group is being targeted because your family has green hair, and they especially hate you, then son, all the more, you want to live? Be respectful. It's not that difficult. Be respectful, okay? They're ministers of God. They're imperfect, just like pastors, and any group has people in it that are not good. It just, but that's the way it is. Ministers of God, just like pastors are, an avenger who brings, let me start back with verse 4 again. Government is a, police are a minister of God to you for good. If you do not want to be afraid, then obey them, respect them. It does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, and it needs to be treated with that kind of respect. One, they bear the image of God. Two, they are ordained ministers of God, even if they're atheists. Each cop is an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Don't do evil. They are given the charge of God to avenge. To do what? To bring wrath. Remember chapter 12, verse 19? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay? I'm the one who brings the wrath. Wrath is entrusted to me. How I do it is a number of ways, but including through my authorities who bear a gun or a sword for a reason. Verse 5. Government is to be an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, I could talk about standing down and letting stuff happen, but I'm not going to do that right now. Verse 5. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection. Just submit yourself. It's fine. Just submit yourself. Go with it. Be respectful. Be honorable. Not only because of wrath, in other words, they got a gun, but also conscience. What does that mean? Before God. God's watching. Respect cops because God is watching. It's an act of worship to respect a cop that's unreasonable or even evil or racist or whatever. For because of this, you pay taxes. What are taxes for? To pay the police, to pay governing officials. Why? Because you're alive today because of them. Rulers are servants of God. There it is again. Ministers of God, servants of God. I mean, there's a redundancy. Devoting themselves to this very thing. Now, that's a word to police and governing officials that they need to live up to this. They need to have a good work ethic and devote themselves to the protection and the well-being of society. It's a word to them. But it's a word to us going, even when they don't, they're still ministers of God and need to be respected because of the image of God in them and because they're ministers of God. Render to everybody what's due. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom is due. That's like a toll. Fear, phobos, fear to whom fear is due. That's like deep respect. Honor to whom honor is due. I mean, the first two phrases go together as tax. Second two phrases go together as just honor. Honor, 1 Peter 3, all men. Honor the king. Honor the police. Honor government. Some police, son, are evil. They're racist. Some are. Some pastors are evil. They're racist. They're pedophiles. They're evil. It doesn't mean we defund all pastors. It doesn't mean, son, we defund all the police. There's evil. Find me the group. I don't care who it is. There's evil, racist people in that group. We all got a lot of sin. Let's help each other out. Let's deal with it. But don't defund everybody and every corporation because there's some evil people in it. And I got to ask the question, who is running in when we're running out? Active shooter here, we're running out. Who's running in? The police. 9/11, trade buildings. Everybody's running out. Who's running in? The police. Remember those guys? We wanted to fund those guys? Is that what we're saying? Active shooter situation, gangs, gang violence, riots, you know how powerful organized crime is? The firepower and other types of, and the police, we want to fire those guys? Is that what we're saying? Terrorism, the guys that run headlong into any kind of domestic or foreign terrorist event on this soil? Here's one for you. Domestic, I rode with the cops in Miami. Domestic disputes. You want to go to something? I mean, of all the things I've listed, they'd rather do any of those things than a domestic dispute. Going into a home, you don't know what uncle or guy is around the corner with a gun. It's nuts. People are going bonkers and their lives regularly in Miami. I rode with them. Constantly on the line. Constantly. Pull a guy over. He's a drug runner. He'll shoot you in a heartbeat. We wanted to fund those guys. Instead of 7,000 roughly murders black on black, what's it going to be if you defund the police? Just shooting real with you right now, going, I can't even believe I'm talking about this. It's just become such a national trend, and nobody's saying anything. And the church needs to speak. There's nothing racist about what I'm saying. I hate racism. I've spoken against racism. It is a horrendous evil. But disrespect for authorities is also, and the stupidity behind defunding the authorities is a great evil as well. I'm shooting straight. This isn't Republican, Democrat, Fox or CNN or whatever. This is the perspective of heaven. And if I'm wrong, correct me, I'll bring it next week, all right? Who are the ones that are protecting us? Why are you alive today? Honestly, why are you alive? Because the police have protected you from stuff you haven't even seen in our society. They protect our society from anarchy, where only the strongest physically survive. Looking on this group, a lot of us would be dead. And I gotta admit, this is not, I'm not being political, but there is a rattlesnake that's coming into the room that you gotta understand. That two-thirds, right now, I got a little bit more time. And I'm bringing it up because of the graph of support. Kind of go along like this for this group, and the graph has gone just like this for this group. Okay? And it sounds like a really noble group. And this, again, I'm not being political. I'm just going, this is evil, and we got to, you know, we got to identify the rattlesnake. And I'm not going to sit by and let stuff that has such a dominant effect currently take place in our society to the best of my ability. I hope every other pastor follows suit. Proudly supported by more and more corporations. Everybody wants their little symbol on their ads. Public officials are cowering to them. I'm yet to hear the public official, Republican, Democrat, Independent, or otherwise, that says anything, that calls any attention to the evils of this group. I haven't heard anybody. I went online to see if any preachers are speaking about it. I don't know of any. I'm sure they're out there. I'm just saying to America, this is a rattlesnake. And this is dominant on the front page. You go to their official website, and this is top left-hand big box. That right there. And what it says is, hashtag defund the police. That's an evil. That's nuts. And part of what it says, and I'm throwing this out, this is not to be hateful. This is to go, this is a rattlesnake, and we got to identify it because more and more people think they're giving to a continuation of the American Civil Rights Movement. Nothing could be further from the truth. Contribute to the American Civil Rights Movement and good, solid movements. One of the greatest organizations ever. And they did things the right way because they called our attention back to the principles of the Bible. They would love the sermon, the book of Romans, chapter 12 and 13. Everybody has rough edges, but overall, they were calling attention to the Bible. They were calling attention to the Constitution, going, we are not living up to the Constitution. We need to start living up to the Constitution. That was the American Civil Rights Movement, and still is. It officially ended in 1968, but it's still going. Support it to the hill, one of the greatest movements ever. Trying to end legalized discrimination and segregation. That's happened, but the residual is still with us to some degree or another. We need to keep fighting that, okay? This, however, is different. This is an anarchist group that wants to defund the police, wants to defund government, wants a complete social takeover. This is basically a political party. And so we have these words. George Floyd's violent death was a breaking point. And all too familiar, remember, this is the prominent ad on their front page. This is not somewhere in the back, some guy, you know, they didn't edit. This is the prominent ad. George Floyd's violent death was a breaking point. Okay. And all too familiar reminder, listen now, for black people, listen to this categorical statement. Law enforcement doesn't protect or save our lives. I'll guarantee you, the person that wrote that is alive because of law enforcement. It's ridiculous. This is prominent. They are often a threat and even take them. They risk their lives daily to save black people and everybody else. We call, some other language, we call for a national defunding of the police. We demand, and that word is in there a lot, we demand, and you know what? Nobody say anything. Nobody that I know of. If you find preachers or politicians, please send them my direction. I'm not seeing anybody. And right now, more and more corporations are donating to this, and more people support it. According to Rasmussen, about 62% of America is in favor of what they're doing. 62%! Recent poll. I think a lot of that's because they're clueless, And it's built on, and I don't want to get into stats, I got to look at my time, but, you know, I mean, when you look at studies and stats are all over them, they're hard to come by. Not everybody reports everything, or they don't report in the right way, so stats are just all over the spectrum. But basically, it's hard to dispute, and finding the study that does, blacks are about as equally likely to be shot by a black cop as a white cop. Now, find me something somewhere that disputes that study. You know, a peer-reviewed study, recent. Well, it was in the back, but it's also being reviewed, constantly being reviewed, okay? That's not a statement about they shouldn't feel bad, they shouldn't feel whatever. I don't want to do that. I want to just go with their feelings, okay? So don't, you know, I'm just saying it's built on some probably pretty faulty stuff, but we do know the police need to be, you know, unions, that kind of thing, that support racist cops and keeping their jobs. Obviously, that's wrong, okay? There's got to be reform, totally into that, but coming back to the Constitution. Included in their stuff is, in their statement, in the belief statement, we are self-reflexive and do the work required, listen now, to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women. Two of the three founders, all female, were homosexual. And that's their agenda. To dismantle, cisgender means it's the opposite of transgender. Another point, we disrupt, listen now, we disrupt, as we want to destroy, the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. We want to destroy the nuclear family structure requirement. We don't want that anymore. Next line, actually the next line. We foster a queer-affirming network. We want to be freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. And you can, this is not the fine print somewhere hidden. This is on their website. Click on what they believe. By the way, here's just a note for everybody. When you're going to pull the lever for a Republican guy, read the platform first. He might be, you know, not holding to it, but at least read it. Or a Democrat, read the platform first. Or an independent, read whoever it is you're voting for or contributing, read the platform first. Everybody good with that? Be educated. It's not, this is not that difficult today with the internet. All right, let me bring this in for a landing. You have in your sermon outline, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and following. I'm not going to go over it. We're done. This is the three-part series. We're done for a while, for hopefully a long time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and following, though, is a great parallel passage that just draws our attention to the same thing as Paul. So that's Peter saying basically the same thing using different words, but he knew also systemic racial and religious injustice. Peter did, and his audience did. It was mounting at the time, even more so than in Paul's day. So I submit that to you for a nice, prayerful read. And sit down with your son, sit down with your grandson, get to know the passage, and just line by line take them through that. These things, and I bring up Black Lives Matter because of it, the curve, the acceptance of all of America, nobody's saying anything, and I don't know where it's going to go, but it is a rattlesnake, okay? It's a rattlesnake. And so because of that and all the social network that young people are hearing, that your grandkids are hearing, that your kids are hearing, it's good to sit down with the Word of God and go, son, you were born to be a man of honor. You were born to honor your mother. You were born to honor your siblings, especially your sisters, especially ladies. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Or actually, forget no, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Open the door for them. Honor them in every way, shape, and form. Honor authorities, honor every other person, no matter what their color or how bad they're behaving. Be a man of honor, son, and pray for a miracle, for revival, that we would be a people of honor. And son, when you see a police officer Go up to him, even if it means walking a block, and say, thank you for protecting us. Say it. And I encourage you to take your young people. Our young people right now are making cards for the police. Thank you cards to bring to them for our local stuff and hopefully for downtown. My grandkids yesterday and through whenever they're with me, if they see a person who's a military person, who's serving the military, you need to walk over and say thank you. And you see a cop, you need to walk over and say thank you. And as you get older and there's a person that's a minority in any way, shape, or form, you need to take the time and sit down with them till you grow an affection. And that's the Christian life. Father, we give you thanks for your grace. We give you thanks for the clarity of your instruction. We give you thanks. We don't have to take sides on anything. We take heaven's side. We identify stuff for what it is. And there's a lot more stuff we could have talked about for sure. But Father, we're deeply, deeply concerned about the agitation toward racism in our society. Now, it's hard enough to deal with our own hearts, let alone the agitation, the enticement toward racism that is just, seems to be just pulling on us. Father, continue to guide us in a complete freedom from the pull of racism, ethnocentrism, pride in whatever my social group is or racial group. Deliver us. Thank you that our great identity is Christ. We are united to Christ now and eternally, and every other identity pales, and we're given the mission to draw others through our witness into identity, into trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, and into identity with Christ, and therefore to become part of our eternal family. Grow us, guide us. Thank you for your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, a fair warning, I am probably a carrier, so big distance here. You can come see me if you want to, but, you know, other folks coming in, so doors are on the side. Feel free to use those doors. God bless you, and God make you a blessing.